Okay, so that's an important, it is an important principle, accepting union with the other person. So when we're focusing on our healing, think about union with the other person. Now, how do you suppose we can think about union with the person that is sick in such a way that it will help with healing? Now, we all here kind of know in theory that we share oneness, okay? But we must not know it completely in reality, because if we knew it in reality, we would be even closer than we are, and we could heal Lorraine at the snap of a finger if we knew it in total reality.
Well, she'd have to give you permission.
Well, I'm sure she'd be happy to give us permission. Yeah. So that's interesting to contemplate. So let's pick on Lorraine over here. So how can we feel more in union with her? It says, no one is sick if someone accepts union with this person. Are we witnesses to her illness? That's the thing that we have to negate right now. We must not be witnesses to her illness.
Okay,
in other words, we must see her as being whole. And this is what Tibetan commented on, the procedure that Christ used in his healing. He said he looked on the perfection and saw perfection on the individuals that he healed.
What about her name?
So he didn't witness to their illness, but he looked on them and saw them as being perfect, and they become healed when he did that. Yeah.
What about her name?
Her name.
Yeah, she is called Rain and Lorraine. So the name.
What about it?
What name would you like to use?
For what?
What?
What are you talking about? My name is Lorraine. I go by Rain because that's my nickname. And
Rain.
Yeah.
He wants to know what you want to be called, Lorraine or Rain.
Rain.
Rain. She likes Rain.
Okay, but doesn't she have to see her perfection as well for it to happen?
I remember what I was like before I got ill.
I don't know. That would certainly help. But I would suspect that those that came to Jesus didn't see themselves as being perfect.
No.
But he saw themselves that way. And he saw themselves that way with such power that it transferred that thought to them. It's kind of the way that I look at that. So his thought was so powerful, he saw them as perfect, and it made them see themselves as perfect. And also because so many people witnessed the miracles, it greatly increased their own faith. So the more you're successful, the more faith is increased. But because Jesus couldn't pick a person in his hometown and heal him instantly and demonstrate that power, nobody in his hometown believed on him, so he couldn't do anything. But if he could have maybe healed two or three people in his hometown, maybe they would have thought, well, maybe he looks like he can do these things.
The people in his hometown didn't hear about his great works outside of the town?
Yeah, they heard about him, and they heard about him. It says they heard about him, and they wanted to see him do them among them, but they didn't really believe what they heard, you know. They wanted to see it, and they doubted it, and he couldn't perform any miracles there because it says of their lack of faith.
They were the idly curious.
Yeah.
And when Jesus healed Lazarus, he had to ask the women if they believed that he could do it.
Yeah, the faith of Martha was really great, in that he used her female energy.
Martha was Lazarus' wife?
No. No, just, I think she was related to Lazarus somehow.
Ah, so she was Jesus' sister.
Doesn't say anything about Lazarus' wife, yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything recorded in the Bible where the healings did not work? Just curious if you tried sometimes and it didn't work.
The only time it says it didn't work was in his hometown, but it didn't give any specific examples. Every other attempt at healing did work. Well, there was one where he healed 10 lepers, and one came back to thank him, and he said, "Where are the other 9? And the other 9, it said the leprosy came back, because they weren't grateful. So gratefulness is a pretty powerful thing. Whatever gifts we get from God, we should really be grateful for them.
Well, believing is the most important part. You have to believe, and well, it's see the end from the beginning.
Yeah. Without belief is kind of the starting point.
Yeah, but what about healers who say they heal animals and babies that don't even know what's going on and have no belief, but yet they're healed?
They heal animals and babies? Yeah. Well, animals.
Well, maybe the belief of the mother or the caregiver is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen anybody heal an animal before, but animals have souls, and when Jesus healed, he communicated with the soul of the person, and if you're able to communicate with the soul of the animal, it would be possible to heal the animal. Yeah.
Is that a union with the animal?
Yeah. Well, you'd have a union with the animal's oversoul. Now, the soul of an animal is over a lot more, and the lower lives is over a lot more lives than the soul of the human being.
Animals are part of a group soul.
Yeah.
So Jesus would be making a union with the people that heal, a holy union, to be able to heal them? Did he saw them as whole?
Yeah, if you can have a union with the person's soul, then a healing can take place.
Okay.
So are you ready for people to join your innermost soul, Rain?
Am I ready to have people join my innermost soul?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Okay.
But I'm concerned about when we learn to heal. When we learn to heal others, will we be learning how to join ourselves? Will we be making a union with them to be able to heal them? We make a union with them? Are these like instructions on how to heal somebody?
Yeah, well, like I say, whenever you participate in a healing, you not only make a union with the person's soul, you also... I have found the healings that I've really been successful in, I have felt a strong impression from the Spirit saying, go ahead, you know, go ahead and do it. Other times I've wanted to heal somebody and the Spirit says, no, this person is not ready, you know. And if the person isn't ready, then it's... I found there wasn't really anything I could do. Now, maybe if I was a little bit more in tune, maybe I could force myself into a union with a person's soul and instigate a healing. But I think there's a lot of elements at play in healing. There doesn't seem to be an exact science, so you can go just heal person A, B, and C. But if a person with into spiritual healing, maybe out of 3 people, he may be able to help one of them. And the other 2, he maybe weren't healed, but maybe they were elevated for a while in consciousness. Okay, let's go over the couple more quotes here. He says, healing is a thought by which 2 minds perceive their oneness and become glad.
Become what?
Glad. G-L-A-D. Okay? So that's interesting. And this is one of the things it points out is joy and gladness is a healing power in itself. Because if you're not feeling well, you kind of feel downcast and feel it's easy to feel rejected and like you're alone. But if you can feel a gladness and a joy, it says this is a healing power in itself. And when two minds are involved, if they both perceive their oneness and feel a joy or gladness, then healing power is, you could say, generated or manifest. Okay?
JJ, that happened for me all this morning, or well, a while ago.
What's that?
Well, I was in the van because I didn't feel good, and I was upset with myself for letting myself get rained down and getting out in the dirt and everything yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I'd already told Darren I may be in there until tonight, and but I could hear y'all playing croquet. What were y'all playing?
Karaoke, yeah.
Well, it was croquet this afternoon.
Oh, croquet.
And I can hear y'all laughing, and y'all are cutting up. And the more y'all laughed, and the closer y'all got down there, and I heard you louder, it gave me, the other part of me kind of got fed, I guess. And so it was like, okay, I mean, you know, I can do this, so I just used my inhaler again and got out.
Okay, that helps you out, just feeling the lightheartedness of everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Joel, is the Course in Miracles, it say,
the plan worked.
Does it say it takes two ego minds to make an illusion real?
Yeah, it kind of goes that direction. And just like it takes exterior witness to make a sickness real. So that's an interesting statement. That if somebody's on a desert island, can he still get sick if he's there all alone? But I guess he can be a witness to himself.
By the same token, if it takes two ego minds to make an illusion real, then two meetings of the soul would make the person well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But I think this idea of joy and gladness is something to focus on. And it's interesting that the Tibetan points out, he says, one of the differences between the light and dark brothers is a sense of humor, a sense of lightness. The Brotherhood of Light has a strong lightness about them. But it's interesting, as we grow up, if you're in school and you crack a joke and make everybody laugh, you often get in trouble, sent to the principal. We're kind of taught, as we grow up, that cracking jokes and making being lighthearted isn't good, you know, and we're often punished for being lighthearted. So people as a whole out there are way too serious. Look how serious they are on both sides of the political spectrum right now. They're both just so serious. They're so serious that even Jerry Seinfeld is complaining about the death of comedy. He says he can't crack jokes anymore in front of people because they're too serious, and they don't have a sense of humanity's losing its sense of humor. Jerry Seinfeld is beloved of a lot of the people that have turned extreme serious. It's interesting how that works. So we have to kind of let that seriousness go. We be replaced by lightheartedness. Be appreciative and tune in to joyfulness, gladness, the positive aspects, lightheartedness. Okay, one more statement. All healing involves replacing fear with love. Okay? So it says if you don't have anything to fear, healing comes naturally. If you have fear, is something that causes disease more than anything else. You know, during the plagues that we've had, like the bubonic plague and stuff like that, it from the records that they made, it indicate that the people that were fearful were the first ones to go. And same thing with this COVID. The fearful ones got it the most and the most serious, quite often. Artie and I weren't really afraid of it all. We're in the danger zone, being in our late 70s, and we never got the disease and never got vaccinated. We didn't have any fear. Well, maybe just a little, you know, a little concern if you're around somebody that might have it. But you have to tune that out. If you can tune out the fear, and the Tibetan says that fear is contagious. And so fear lowers our immune system. And so if we can, a situation where we have a disease like COVID and it's contagious, fear just was rampant. Remember when it first started, how afraid everybody was? Everybody was. People you thought was really gutsy, some of them were the most fearful. The fear created more problems than the disease itself in many cases.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
Like the Tibetan says, fear is woven into the woof and warp of our fabric.
Yeah.
So it really is something to rise above. You have to acknowledge it, identify it, and then when you reach the plane of the soul, that's when you overcome fear.
Yeah, A Course in Miracles gives a good kind of interesting take on that. It said, you know, the Son wanted to create this universe and the Father was against him, and he went ahead and did it anyway. And it said this created a fear in him that the Father would reject him. Okay, and this could be the fear that's responsible, that's woven in the warp and woof of the universe, as the Tibetan talks about.
JJ.
Yeah.
Immediately when COVID started, I immediately started spreading jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means.
Well, I read about this guy that got MS, and he was just given a short time to live. He was I can't remember his name, but he was a fairly famous author. He decided that the best thing to cure himself was humor, so he went and rented every movie he could find that was a lighthearted and humorous movie, and read joke books, and he made himself laugh every day as much as he could, and within a couple months he was healed of MS. And he figured that's what did the job. So I thought that was a cute story. Want to take a little break?
Yes.
Okay.